Wake the kids, phone the neighbors, bring in the pets. It's time for the Brenham Sports Line. Sports talk with a local attitude. The Brenham Sports Line brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaners. South Market Street in Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. Tonight on the Brenham Sports Line, we're talking Brenham Cub baseball, and we're talking March Madness tonight on the Brenham Sports Line. Props as always going out to Heine Minosh and his all-star band, and as always in studio with us here on the Brenham Sports Line, our Sports Line mascot, Mookie the Rabbit Badger, as we bring you another Monday night of the Brenham Sports Line Sports Talk with a local attitude. And of course, Mookie excited about a couple of things tonight, and he's especially excited about Brenham Cub baseball and the Wisconsin Badgers and their big win last night over Xavier, and they're on to the Sweet 16. More about that coming up a little bit later on, but first, let's talk a little Brenham Cub baseball. Coach Lanny Williams and members of the Cubs in studio here, and thank goodness we got Mookie in the cage, because he gets fired up about baseball.
I'm glad you got Mookie in the cage, Ed. I'm glad you got Mookie in the cage.
Otherwise, this could turn into a serious shindig pretty quickly.
Or a hoot nanny.
Or a hoot nanny. Well, you know, well, it became a hoot nanny after the Wisconsin win last night.
Did, so yeah. The Wisconsin win or the Aggie win?
Well, you know, Mookie being the Rabbit Badger, he's only got one team. He filled out his bracket. It was Wisconsin every game. It was just Wisconsin the whole way through.
Did he pick A&M?
He didn't pick anybody but Wisconsin. That's why he's the Rabbit Badger.
So he didn't have any other teams in the bracket?
No other teams in the bracket other than Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah. He's crazy like that. Meanwhile, of course, you know, me, I lost two Final Four teams in the first day of the tournament.
You picked North Dakota, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, I was riding that Stony Brook wave, but Michigan State and West Virginia on the very first day.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you lose Baylor?
I had Baylor actually getting beat in the second round, not in the first round. I had them getting beat in the second round.
Texas?
I don't even remember. I don't remember now.
Come on, Ed.
I don't have my bracket right in front of me.
You didn't think A&M and Texas were going to meet up in round two?
No, I had Northern Iowa beating Texas.
No way.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I had Northern Iowa beating Texas. That was one of the two I got right. That and Holy Cross. Those are the only two I got right the whole tournament.
That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Let's talk basketball. Let's talk baseball. Okay. Let's forget about basketball.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's talk about March, April, May and June madness.
That's exactly right.
There you go. Brenham Cub baseball. Cubs off to a 2-0 start in district play. And talk about how things have progressed so far since we last visited, Coach.
Things have progressed, I think, very well. I mean, we just, you know, guys are swinging the bats a lot better than what they were in the beginning of the season, which has been great. Great for pitching. Great for when we do make mistakes on defense. You know, we got a little cushion in there. So the past two ball games, the guys have done really well. Adjusting to the plate and Denison, a great job of seeing pitches, getting deep in the count, putting the ball in play with two strikes. Been fun to watch.
And I know that, you know, for people that get hung up on records, they will look at the 6-6 in pre-district and think, oh, they're off to a slow start. But really, you played a killer schedule that really will prepare anybody for district.
We played a stupid schedule is what we played. That's what we played. We it was We talked about this at the beginning of the year before. The guys probably don't even know about this, but we were looking at this like, if we could just walk away from here at 500, we'll be happy. And and we did. We left Round Rock feeling very, very good about ourselves, and then came home and flipped it, went 2-3. But what's weird about the whole thing, I think we played 14 ball games, and out of those 14 ball games, I mean, we could easily be sitting 12-2 if we play up to par, mm-hmm. like we have the past couple of games. But that's why you play the game. I think there were two ball games that we played that we've been out of. One of the possible. Capel was definitely, I wouldn't say overmatched. We just made some mistakes early that kind of cost us. But that was the only game where I felt like I'm not sure about this one. All the other games we were in.
And as far as it preparing you, you saw a myriad of pitchers, different kinds of pitchers. You saw different kinds of approaches. You saw teams that played small ball. You saw teams that tried to set up for the three-run homer, different kinds of approaches. So how do you think that that actually prepared you for the district schedule?
I think it's prepared us well. We looked around, and there's a lot of teams in our district who have got a good record doing preseason, and right now they're sitting 1-1 or 0-2, which, you know, that doesn't matter because we know that the caliber of ball that we're playing that we have coming in to Brenham during our alumni tournament and during the Brenham baseball tournament and also us going to Round Rock has really prepared us for those things. But we don't, we just looked at trying to get better and not making the same mistakes over and over again. And I feel like for the most part, 80% of that we have, we're still making the routine plays when we make the routine plays. We're still, having issues with that, but it's not from lack of effort or guys trying. I mean, they really are giving us everything they have in practice and really bought into what we're asking them to do. And probably the biggest thing that I see from my guys is just the unity that they have. I mean, it's a pretty tight-knit group, and that goes a long way. You can't. When you have a tight-knit group like the guys we have here, Scott can be the limit for them if they just stay together and don't let selfishness come in and be a part of it.
All right, Dan, your first couple of district wins, team rallied late in both mm-hmm. ball games. So what does that say about the heart of this team?
It says a lot about them. And I know everybody thinks we rallied late. The first game against Tomball Memorial, we were pretty much in control mm-hmm. other than one pitch. One pitch of that ball game flipped it to where it was 3-2, and then I looked in our guys' eyes, and I didn't see the look that I'd seen before when we were in the tournaments and someone scored a run on us. I mean, it was like, guys, let's get this done. And they did. They battled back and did a great job there, and then the same thing happened again against Magnolia West. We were down 1-0, I guess, going to the third inning or so, but we had some great at-bats, so I knew that if we just keep plugging away with the bats, that things were going to turn out the way they did, and they did. And then all of a sudden we gave them – we were up 4-1 and then gave them, I think, four runs in one inning in the fifth inning. Challenged those walkers cruising. And our guys just, the comment that I made to them or how we looked at it is that we've been punched in the face. Let's punch back, and our guys did. And very, very proud of them for doing that. So it's been fun to watch these group of guys grow into the team that they are now. And they're a lot of fun watching play also.
And so far, what have been maybe one or two things have been kind of a pleasant surprise for you? Something you said, hey, we're a little ahead of schedule here, or this is something kind of really kind of surprised me a little bit.
The pitching, I felt like, was always going to be a plus that we had. I really felt like that our pitching was going to come along. There's a couple of ball players that I wasn't sure about going into the season that I think it really surprised me. One was being Davion Lockett. He's done a phenomenal job in the leadoff spot. The other one is being Dane Acker. Dane's gonna throw for us tomorrow, but more important than anything, I think just our senior leadership that we have on our team. The guys are really leading and doing the being the perfect examples of how you want cut-up baseball to be. That's probably been the biggest thing, the biggest surprise for me. Not surprise, but pleasant thing that we've had along the way.
All right, and. Now you're taking a look at the district, and as we've looked at some of the results, just these first two nights of district play, mm-hmm. it looks like it's going to be a crazy district. Looks like anybody can beat anybody on a given night, kind of like it was last
right.
year. Even though the Cubs won the district, we're tested by a lot
right.
of teams last year,
and we are well aware of that. And what we try to tell our guys is, is to separate it as much as we can from the mess. And that means that, and my whole philosophy behind, you know, a district like this is win the games you're supposed to win. Don't lose to a team that you're supposed to, beat. And then the teams that are strong in the district, if you can sneak one away or pull one away, and the next thing you know, you find yourself, you know, where you're out in front of everybody, and now all of a sudden they're playing with each other, and we're by ourselves, which is what happened to us last year. We got out to an early lead, and I think we went 7-0 or 8-0 the first round. Didn't lose a first round game, which was great. If we can do that again, my biggest thing is that we wanted to have a good practice today. You know, and then go out and have play great in inning number one tomorrow, and then not worry about anything else other than this moment, this time. And our guys have done a good job of doing that.
All right. And you brought some players with you. We're going to talk to them here in just a minute. Going to take a quick break and hear from one of our sponsors. And when we come back, members of the Brenham Cub baseball team here on the Brenham Sports Line.
What does a good time sound like? Does it rock?
I can't believe we're right next to the stage. Oh, here we go.
Does it pack a punch?
This is for the UFC light heavyweight belt. Here we go!
Does it include dancing?
To our boy Randy the Bachelor. Let's make this a night we never talk about. Here we go!
Or is it off the grid?
4 days, 3 nights, and absolutely no email. Ah, here we go.
A good time can sound like just about anything. But there's one sound that goes with a good time every time. The just right taste of Bud Light. So no matter what your idea of a good time sounds like.
Streaking!
Here we go!
Start it off right with refreshing Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. Please drink responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
It is the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude with the Doc and the Boss on a Monday night. Coach Lanny Williams and the Brenham Cubs in studio with us. And, Coach, you brought some of your players with you here tonight.
I did. I brought four all-district baseball players that we had last year. Sam Gattner is an outfielder. Zach Barnes is a middle infielder. Cameron Drain is an outfielder. And Dylan Lester as an infielder / pitcher.
All right, and so we'll talk with the players.
Sounds good.
And all right, and let you guys introduce yourself. And first up, step on up to the mic.
Sam Gattner.
All right, and Sam, how's it been going so far?
It's good.
All right, how do you feel about the way the things have gone so far this year?
Things have been going well. The team's been bonding really good. We've been playing good baseball lately.
And as far as the start to district play, what's been the most impressive thing as far as your first two wins this year in district?
I mean, we never gave up in either game. We played full games, a lot of team chemistry. We've been having a lot of fun.
All right. And talk about how you feel your role or what you feel your role is with this, with the team.
I mean, I'm a senior outfielder, so I played last year, and I feel like I should show the younger kids how it goes at Brenham and just always play with a lot of effort and a lot of heart.
And what have been some of the pleasant aspects so far this season? What have been some of the things you've been happy with so far this year?
The pitching's been great in every game. We hadn't had a bad game pitching yet. The bat's been getting hot lately in district, and that's good. Defense, we haven't had a lot of errors in any game, so we're going to keep that up.
All right, and as you look at district play, what are some of the things that the team is going to have to do as far as now, you know, you're in district and, you know, this is the most important part of the season right here?
Right. We're going to have to grind it out and just keep playing hard the entire season, not take anyone for granted, play hard every game, win the games we're supposed to win.
All right, Sam, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. All right, and next up is...
Zach Barnes.
All right, Zach, and how you feel about the way things have gone so far this year?
I feel really good about it.
All right, and what are some of the things so far this year that you've been most particularly pleased with?
Our team chemistry is fantastic. the heart that our team shows, especially in district, just coming back from being down. And then just the pitching, like they said, has been phenomenal.
And what has been so far in these two district games, what do you think have been kind of the trademark of this team?
It just shows our heart, honestly, coming back from being down, just grinding it out.
And how does it feel being one of the leaders now, kind of one of the senior leaders on this team, as one of the guys that the newer players are kind of looking up at?
You know, Doc, it feels the same like it's always been. Just trying to work hard every day, show them the way.
All right, and now the expectations for the rest of the season. What do you expect out of? First of all, what do you expect from yourself? What are your own personal expectations?
Just lead the team and win 75% of the games. Get to region.
All right, and what are going to be the keys now? The rest of the way. What are the things the rest of the way that this team has to do if you guys are going to be at Del Diamond on that last weekend of the season?
We got to keep working hard at practice, minimize the physical mistakes. That's one thing that I haven't seen a lot of this year is mental mistakes. They've all been physical, so they can be fixed.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
All right. And next up is?
Cameron Drain.
All right, Cameron. And first of all, thanks for being here tonight. How's everything been going so far?
Feels great. It's going
great. All right. And talk about the way that things have kind of gone so far this year. How do you feel about the way things have you know, developed?
I feel like it's going great. Going back to what Sam and Zach said, we have a great team chemistry. We all bond together like brothers, and it's going well.
All right. And also, talk about... I know the one thing that Coach had talked about, and we've talked about this throughout the pre-district games, was he was looking for guys to kind of in that bottom part of the order, the 6, 7, 8, 9 hitters, the guys that were going to – those positions were open for guys to jump up and take. And you've had some really good games these last few ball games. It seems like you've solidified a spot in there. Talk about how you feel you've kind of – taking over a spot there because you had two hits last night or the last game, two hits the game before that, drove in a huge run a couple of games ago. How do you feel about the way you're playing right now?
Well, I feel like I'm playing great, but I feel like everybody's contributing just as well.
All right. And what are some of the things you think that are kind of like the personality of this team as far as like, you know, how this team kind of plays together and what's leading to your success?
Well, we've all been playing baseball since we were little in Little League, so we've been friends and we like to joke around with each other sometimes, but we always take it serious too.
All right, and same question I asked Zach. What are the things that you're going to have to do to make sure that come June you guys are in Round Rock?
I think we'll be all right as long as we don't make any errors and our pitching stays as good as it's been and we swing the bats just as well as we did for these past two district games.
All right, Cameron, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, and next up is?
Dylan Lester.
All right, Dylan, and thanks for being here tonight. Appreciate it.
No, thank you.
All right, and talk about the start of the season so far. You guys are just 14 games into the season, but how do you feel about the way things are developing?
I feel like everything's going great. You know, we've got real great team chemistry. Like all the guys said, everybody's bonding well and everybody's playing well. We've been in most of our ball games, and that's a great thing, especially heading into district. And right now we're 2-0, and it shows that playing better competition in the beginning is going to help us out.
And talk about that competition, because the pre-district schedule, you guys played some extremely tough teams, wound up playing one of the toughest teams in the entire country among the teams that you played. How do you feel that prepares you all now for district play?
Oh, it's an important thing going into to district, because all those teams that we do play, we set up the schedule that way so we do get better throughout the or before season starts and district starts. That way we know that are kind of what we have this year and know that we can always work hard going into it. And if we can stay in big ball games with big teams and big schools, then it should come natural whenever it comes into district play.
And as Coach said, the team, especially the last couple of weeks, has started hitting the ball a lot better. How does it feel as far as translating to the way you pitch when you go out there, knowing that the bats are heating up and the guys are hitting the ball better? Does that maybe give you a little more confidence out there on the mound?
It's a huge confidence boost, knowing that I can go out there, shut the team down for an inning, two innings, and then know that coming back in, we're going to score 3-4 runs, then go back and do my thing, do what Chandler does. All the pitchers do a great job, and it's a huge confidence boost knowing that we've got great run support coming in behind us.
All right, Dan. What are the things you feel that you have to do to help this team get to the state finals?
Just got to keep working hard. Everybody on the team works hard, and that's a great thing. It's an amazing thing, and there's not a lot of schools where you find that. As far as being a senior captain, me and Zach just need to make sure that we lead this team in the right direction along with the other seniors. That's our role this year, and it's good because most of us have been on the team for a while now, and it's really important knowing that we can lead this team in a good direction.
And, of course, everybody knows that you made your commitment for college early. How important was it to kind of get that out of the way and now just concentrate on your senior season?
It was pretty important to me because that is something that I have dreamt of, but it's also one thing that I do need to realize, hey, I'm still a high school pitcher, and I'm still, yeah, even though I have that college commitment, I still need to work hard and make sure I can be the best pitcher I can be. And I know I can be the best pitcher I can be with the guys behind me. I mean, there's a lot of games. The Tombaugh Memorial game was a great example. I only had 7 strikeouts, which seems like a lot, but honestly, there were a lot of hard-hit balls that game. And without them, I mean, I couldn't have got that win.
All right, Dylan. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. And we'll see you at the ballpark tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. And, Coach, as you sat here listening to the ball players. What are kind of some of the things that they ran through your mind as you listened to your team?
Very proud. Makes me very, very proud to be a part of their lives and to have an influence that me, Coach Harris, and Coach Mark have on these guys, and knowing that the things we're saying, what we're doing, that the guys are very good models of it, and they do a phenomenal job. And it just lets me know that as an educator and as a coach, that there are some decent kids out here that understand about commitment, about team, about bonding, about following leaders. And you know, outside of baseball, probably some of the best group of kids we have around. They're not perfect by any means, but they do give us all they have, and just makes me proud to be a part of their life for the moment that I'm associated with them.
All right, and talk a little bit about the personality of this team, because, you know, before the broadcast, we always come down to the dugout, and we do some interviews and stuff, and it always seems like there's some laughing and some you know, joking going around, and it seems like a really loose bunch of guys.
And they are. You know, we talked about this earlier, about finding their identity. I think that's what we said, about this team has to find their identity, and only they'll know what the identity of their team is. What I love about them, and I appreciate more than anything, is the dugout, just hearing the guys in the dugout in the ball games the whole entire time. It just makes me know that they really care about what we're doing, about what that person is doing on the mound or what that person is doing in the box. And it's not just it's not a selfish thing. Someone strikes out and they're not in a corner by themselves. They're up speaking and chanting and really trying to encourage the guy behind them to get a job done that maybe they didn't get done. Or they're excited when someone else does a great job, someone makes a great play. I mean, I think at Magnolia West, we were on the field, I think, when Cameron Drain caught a ball down the line. We all met Cameron on the infield, not in foul territory, but in fair territory, because our guys were excited about that. And Davion made a great play during that time, but that's the thing that I think stands out to me the most. As far as their identity and what I think of them, I just see a bunch of guys that just there's no quit in them, and that's what I love about them more than anything. You know, it's like I said, we got punched in the face and we punch right back, and that's not the best political way of saying it, but that's how I feel. You know, sometimes you do get kicked, and what are you going to do? Are you going to cower down and say, okay, that's it, but These guys fight back, and that's, I think that says a lot about them as a baseball player, and probably a lot more about them as when they become men and life, you know, hands them something hard.
One of the greatest quotes in the history of sports, I think, is Mike Tyson when he said, "Everybody got a plan till they get punched in the face."
That's exactly right.
You know, yes, everybody's got a great plan, game plan. Once you get punched in the face, then it's like, what do you do after that?
I agree, and that's the thing that I think that we try to at practice. I mean, these guys, we just got the practice field, and they got their butts beat a little bit on some things, and they know where they made the mistakes, but it's not. I mean, our practices are hard. I mean, and there's some easy ones sometimes, but our guys get worked pretty hard. But they also, maybe they don't. You don't get worked pretty hard?
Don't ever say that.
Practices? Oh, they're hard? Oh, there's no easy practices? Okay, I was about to say. And they had weights in the morning. And
yeah, the last thing you want to do is tell the coach practice wasn't that hard.
Well, I think the practices sometimes are easy, but maybe I'm wrong. But I do know this, is that the kids work hard. And they've been up since, I guess, probably some of these guys, 5:30 in the morning, going to weights, and they just got off the field at, you know, 5:30 this afternoon. So they've been going and grinding in the classroom and doing the right thing. So, but the results you see on Friday, you know, and Tuesday of last week is pretty much a direct correlation of the work they put in. No deposit, no return. And our guys are definitely putting their time in. They're definitely getting in. And now, you know, they're reaping the benefits of hard work. And that's what it's about.
Much like the Boston Red Sox, reaping the rewards of hard work.
Don't go there. It's still the field is still cold in Boston right now. Let's just wait. This that big pop.
Hope always springs eternal.
Hope. What's that thing about the birds? What was that quote about the birds and? You know, the quote about the birds.
Mark the bird Fidrich.
No,
about
birds.
When the
island,
swallows return to Capistrano, that's it.
Right.
That's it. It's as inevitable as when the swallows return to Capistrano.
So you're saying the Red Sox are gonna? This is their year.
Oh, absolutely.
This is it.
You better believe it.
I'm going with the Cubs this year.
You know, wouldn't it be awesome to see the Red Sox and the Cubs in the World Series?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
And, you know, another Red Sox sweep. But anyway, no. I tell you, I would love to see Chicago and Boston in the World Series. So that would be pretty awesome.
Would you leave here and go do a game? Would you make a trip?
The day I get a ticket, I'm gone.
You're going out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should plan on it.
All right, we'll make plans.
There you go.
We'll make plans.
Sometime in the fall, right?
October, baby.
October? All right.
We'll October. Plan. We'll go to Wrigley. We'll go to one game at Wrigley, one game at Fenway.
Sounds like a plan.
There we go.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm in.
All right. But anyway, so, all right, tomorrow night it's Stratford.
Here.
We'll be on the air at 6:40, 7 o'clock first pitch. And Thursday, now the game this week is, the second game is a Thursday this week because of Good Friday, right?
It's Magnolia. It'll be there.
All right. At Magnolia on Thursday.
Magnolia High School.
All right. Well, Coach, appreciate it. Thank you for bringing the guys by.
Thanks for letting us come here.
And you're obviously the smartest man in the room because you did not do a bracket, so you can't be complaining about not filling it by having your bracket busted.
Who all did a bracket here? One guy. Sammy. Johnny Benchit did a bracket. Johnny Benchit won. That's it. I don't do brackets, Ed.
Apparently I don't either. Even though I filled one out, apparently I don't know what I'm doing either.
The only one that is doing well is Mookie.
Yeah, Mookie's the only one because he's got Wisconsin. Yeah. He's batting 1,000. He only picked two games and he got them both right. Meanwhile, me, I'm just sitting here watching my entire bracket go right into the toilet.
With a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah. So what you gonna do?
That's why you play the game, man. That's why you play the game.
That's it. Well, Coach, appreciate you being here tonight and look forward to being out at the ballpark tomorrow night at Fireman's.
Sounds good, my man.
All right. Tomorrow night, Brenham Cubs and Stratford at Fireman's Park. Again, 6:40 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch here on KWHI and KWHI.com. This is the Brenham Sports Line, and when we come back, we are going to be talking March Madness with Coach Scott Schumacher on the Brenham Sports Line here on KWHI. When your clothes have-
have to look good. Trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
If the ease and convenience of serving a honey glazed ham for Christmas was great, just wait till you take the hassle out of your Easter dinner. No cooking, heating, no carving. Just take it out of the fridge 4 hours before serving and you're done. And you don't even have to leave town to get this tasty, moist ham. Call Bliss Honey Glazed Hams at 281-222-2131 or stop by 2307 South Market in Brenham. Order now and pick it up Friday or Saturday, March 25th or 26th. Plus, check out the Easter treats at Bliss Candy Company on South Market across from Buddy's Appliance.
I'm Cody Wren with your KWHI local news update. Traffic in the westbound lane of Highway 290 just east of Waller County was blocked up for nearly an hour this morning after an accident involving a motorcycle. According to the Waller County Sheriff's Office, the accident occurred just before 9 a.m. this morning in Harris County. Harris County DPS officials confirm an accident occurred but had no information regarding any injuries. At tomorrow's Washington County Commissioners meeting, the court will discuss granting the Sheriff's Office the authority to apply for a Texas Association of Counties Risk Management Pool Law Enforcement grant. The grant would be for the purchase of safety equipment for the Sheriff's Office Tactical Response Group. The Washington County Commissioners will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at the Washington County Courthouse. Three people face possession charges after their arrest this weekend in Brenham. 30-year-old Christian Leon Johnson is charged with theft of a firearm, unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon, and possession of a controlled substance. 21-year-old William Troy Rutledge of Brenham is charged with possession of marijuana in a drug-free zone. And 32-year-old Robert Javor Jones of Brenham was arrested during a traffic stop and charged with possession of marijuana in a drug-free zone. And Blinn College will have a little extra magic in the air when the nation's largest touring illusion show hosts a 90-minute spectacular at the college's Brenham campus. The Nelson Illusion Smoke and Mystery Tour will come to the Dr. W&W O'Donnell Performing Arts Center at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, March the 30th as part of Blinn's Performing Arts Series. There will also be a 60-minute show for area elementary schools earlier during the day. Taking a look at your friendly country forecast, today we can expect sunshine all day long with south winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour and a high of 65. Overnight tonight we'll see clear skies, a low of 46, and the sun setting at 7:38. I'm Cody Wren with KWHI, where the news comes first.
We are back on the Brenham Sports Line, Sports Talk with a local attitude, brought to you by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and by Class Care Cleaners, South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. And I want to thank Coach Lanny Williams and members of the Brenham Cub baseball team for joining us here on the Brenham Sports Line. Again, the Cubs and Stratford tomorrow night. 6:40 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch with yours truly and Tommy Lange here on KWHI and KWHI.com. And now we're going to talk a little March Madness. On the phone with me is, a man who one week ago on this program proved he and I don't know anything about college basketball. Coach Scott Schumacher, the Blinn Buccaneers, and Coach, how bad do our brackets look right now?
I can't believe you're having me back on the show. I think the only reason you're bringing me back on is because it makes you look good with your picks.
I tell you what, the best description of my bracket is I'm gonna steal a quote from Mike Golick this morning on Mike and Mike. He said, quote, "The left side of my bracket looks great. The right side of my bracket looks like a gut shot with a shotgun." And that's exactly what my bracket looks like. It looks like it's been gut shot.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't even paid attention to my bracket anymore after the first day.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was crazy. This whole tournament has been nuts. And first of all, what do you think, just what has jumped out at you as far as maybe trying to nail down one really great moment from this tournament? Was it the comeback by the Aggies? Was it Wisconsin's buzzer beater last night? Was it win by Northern Iowa over the Longhorns? Was it something else? Was it Syracuse surprising everybody with a couple of blowout wins, 2-0, and they're in the Sweet 16?
I just, I think it was the high and the low yesterday. The low being the tip-in by Notre Dame to beat Stephen F. Austin. Think about that. A Southland Conference school would have been in the round of 16, which would have been phenomenal. And then the high of Texas A&M being able to come back and win that game was just, it was just unbelievable. It was just phenomenal.
I tell you one thing, I got a feeling Charles Barkley is not going to be invited to speak at Texas A&M anytime in the near future.
No.
Wow.
I didn't hear what he was saying. I know that he wasn't real positive with the Kentucky Wildcats.
Now he basically said that he inferred that A&M, it was a gimme win in that Northern Iowa just gave it to them.
Yep, I heard that. Texas A&M fans right now wouldn't care
Charles
Barkley to walk on water. They would probably be back slapping Mac Brown right now, the football coach, former football coach, text over in College Station for what they were just able to go through. Good for Coach Kennedy and, good for his kids, but that was, as I was yelling and screaming at the TV, my wife came out last night to inform me that all my kids were still asleep. and I looked at it and reminded her that, hey, we still have one more game to go, Oregon St. Joe. So
yeah,
I was just preparing her for that. That was a heck of a game, too.
That was an outstanding game. And the thing was, and right after the A&M game, after the end of regulation for the A&M game, you switch it over and boom, the Wisconsin Xavier finish.
How about that?
Oh my goodness! Our mascot Mookie the Rabid Badger, he was doing cartwheels.
That was an unbelievable. How about Middle Tennessee State knocking off Michigan State?
Bad.
And not only knocking them off, but really just dominating that whole game.
Yeah, and I mean that Michigan State they looked overmatched.
Middle Tennessee State was going man. They were going 1-3-1 zone. They were running a 2-3 zone, but in their man, they were switching everything. So it really threw Michigan State off, and then those guys came out on fire, just drilling shots.
Yeah,
and then how about the St. Joe's Cincinnati game?
Oh my goodness! I feel.
Did you see that?
I feel so sick for that kid. I mean, he just, he just sat there just in shock for for so long after the game.
Yeah, when he dunked it, he sat down on the ground.
Yeah.
That kid, he played at Trinity Valley.
Yeah.
Really good player. He was, as a matter of fact, he was MVP of our league.
And people were saying all he had to do was just tip it in. Well, you don't think about that at the time.
No.
There's the game winning shot or the tying shot, I should say.
Yep.
Of course he's going to dunk it.
How about Hagen's step back three sending Little Rock into overtime against Purdue?
Oh my goodness.
I mean, they have basically had the same kind of run that A&M did, only they spread it out over 3 minutes, but,
And the one that really impressed me in the tournament for the first time in over half a century.
Don't say Holy Cross.
I'm not going to say Holy Cross. That was a play-in game. That was a play-in game.
I know.
No, I'm talking about the Yale Eli.
Oh.
Haven't been in the tournament since I think FDR was president. And
it was their first tournament win in school's history.
And yeah, they hadn't been in the tournament. I think it was almost 60 years. They have not been in the tournament in almost six. It's like 58 years, I think, since they had been in the tournament.
Isn't that where George W. Bush went to school there at Yale? Isn't he Yale grad?
Yeah. Yeah. H.W. was the first baseman for the baseball team. But I mean, and I mean a solid win.
Yes.
Over Baylor.
Over a very good Baylor team.
And they had their chances. They gave Duke, you know, a game.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people thought
Duke? The Dukies are back in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. Yep. The Blue Devils are, you know, it always seems like when, you know, it seems like late in the season when people were, not late in the season, but kind of towards the middle later end of the season, people were starting to write Duke off. They had lost like 3 out of 4, and people were saying, well, this just isn't the Blue Devils' year. That's usually when Coach K and the Blue Devils circle the wagons and surprise everybody.
Yep.
It's when people start to write them off is when they, you know, and the only thing missing was Christian Laettner, who everybody hates.
I thought that the Stephen F. Austin West Virginia game, I was pulling for Stephen F. Austin, not only, you know, Coach Underwood, but just for the state of basketball or the state of Texas and the basketball in the Southland, you know, that raises all the profiles of, you know, St. Houston State and, you know, those guys. I thought that was a great game. And then I thought that, you know, Stephen F. Austin played a tremendous game against Notre Dame, and that guy just tipped it in. If they just
and the thing was, and like they diagrammed it, or as they showed it on the Telestrator or whatever, it was just lucky spin on the basketball because he hit it almost straight up, and you're thinking there's no way that ball's going in, but it had a right to left spin on the ball. And it caromed off of the backboard and went left into the basket. I mean, it just. I mean,
just think about this now. If Stephen F. Austin would have won, Thomas Walkup would be the talk of the NCAA tournament, and Stephen F. Austin would be the only basically Cinderella. Because even though Syracuse is a high seed, it's still Syracuse.
It's still Cuse, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give the Big East a little props for you, but. You know,
hey, that's but no. They're ACC. They're ACC, Coach. One of six ACC teams in the Sweet 16.
I know it. And how about this? Our own Buzz Williams at Virginia Tech.
Yep.
He finished in sixth place, and Syracuse and Pitt finished below him in the ACC. They didn't even get a bid, and then neither did. Louisville.
Yeah.
How about the Providence Friars against USC?
Oh, my goodness.
That out-of-bounds play?
That was incredible.
That was incredible. I kept rewinding it to see what in the world happened, and then the coach, you know, Chris Dunn was running through and trying to get a shot, and that guy was just kind of clearing out.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Oh, my goodness.
And then how about Chris Dunn's game against North Carolina?
Oh, that was
he was a man.
He earned himself some more bucks. He's moving like you said a week ago, he's going to be a very high draft pick come the NBA draft.
We were watching the game one time with my sister and I were watching the game up there and looked at my sister and go, Coach, that's the type of guy I need you to help me recruit right there. Go find me a guy like that. He just looked at me like, really? Yeah, I need a Chris Dunn. We need a Chris Dunn over here.
I thought that
I know my wife's glad that those 4 days are over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was very exciting. Very, it's just unbelievable basketball. And the thing is like when you watched the Vanderbilt Wichita State game, and then you watched the Wichita State to Miami game. I mean, those guys and everybody you watch, those guys are playing so hard and are guarding so well. It sometimes makes the game look ugly, but it's just because they're playing so hard and they're guarding each other.
And I tell you what, how do you think the people who had Virginia going to the Final Four feel now that Michigan State's out of their bracket?
Oh, because who do they play the winner of? Is it Syracuse and
I think so.
It's Syracuse and somebody else, another high seed, isn't it?
I do believe so. I believe that. Yeah, it's a couple of very high seeds.
Oh, Gonzaga.
I tell you who's impressed me. Speaking of Virginia, Malcolm Brogdon. Boy, this kid can play some defense, can he?
Oh, be good. How good has Gonzaga played?
Oh my goodness, they're playing great basketball. I love the Sabonis kid.
Yes.
You know.
And then I thought that Texas did an unbelievable job of coming back, fighting in, and then the guy from Northern Iowa threw in a half court shot. You don't think the Aggies like that one, do you?
Oh my goodness.
I just think it's been great games and really, really individual plays that, you know, like the kid making the last second shot against for Wisconsin and Xavier. You know, the half court shot we just talked about for the University of Texas.
Yeah.
You know, Thomas Walkup, how he played. I just thought it's been very, very exciting and very exhilarating if, you know, you like watching college basketball.
No, it's been amazing. And another story that I like seeing, Mark Turgeon getting Maryland to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because they, for a while there, Hawaii was beating them.
Yeah.
But he did a good job. Maryland's got a good team. It's kind of like what, you know, I was listening, like, what, you know, with listening to everybody. It's like, okay, you know, we argue, should St. Mary's be in or Valpo, or why did Tulsa get in? But in the end, it's still the same guys.
Yeah.
Indiana, North Carolina, Virginia, Duke, Kansas. You know, I mean, how about Wichita State dismantling Arizona?
That was a surprise. I wasn't shocked to see Wichita State win that, but the way they handled them really did surprise me.
That surprised me too, because I, you know, but you know, it's the same, you know, and then you know, I thought that Indiana was just the better team over Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How about that for a matchup? Indiana and North Carolina. How about?
Wow.
I mean, you know,
North Carolina's looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and a lot of people were forgetting. A lot of people had forgotten the fact that North Carolina preseason was a prohibitive number one. I mean, everybody. It was almost unanimous. North Carolina was the preseason number one team in the nation.
It's almost like, you know, from a coach's standpoint, you're sitting there watching North Carolina play, and, you know, he basically does the same stuff with some, you know, a little bit of twist, but they are really pounding the basketball inside and looking to use their strength with their front court players. They really pound the ball inside. I'll tell you, the other team I really enjoyed watching was St. Joe's. That St. Joe's Oregon game was woof. Those two guys were going at each other last night.
Yeah, and well, I tell you, you know, and you know, I love to watch St. Joe's. A coach, Martelli. He is so much fun to watch.
Yes. Phil Martelli with his grandson.
Yes.
Yes. The East Coast people know how good St. Joe's basketball is in the Big Five.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you who else looked really good, and I think they were relieved, was Villanova. Wow, they look good.
Yeah, yeah. And and again, here's another case where I think some people forgot going into the tournament. Villanova was a number one team, was ranked number one for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
You know, they're a team that was ranked on the, was ranked a top team in the nation for a couple of weeks. So,
yes.
You know, Villanova, if they win the whole thing, I don't think we'll shock too many folks that know the game.
It's they really played well. I was happy for Jay Wright. They really, really played well because, you know, that was a big monkey on his back, I'm sure.
Yeah. And one more thing before we let you go,
yeah.
Coach. Getting away from the tournament.
Don't make me pick again.
No,
don't make me pick anymore. Okay,
no, good. because if I make you pick, then I'm going to have to pick, and I really don't want to do that because it's just going to embarrass myself, too.
Well, the problem is there's not a whole lot of Big East schools left.
Wait a minute now.
You're going to be lost. You'll be lost.
Oh man, I may just go with our mascot Mookie and put it all on the Wisconsin Badgers. Mookie the rabid badger loves Wisconsin, and I may have to go with him. But
I don't know about that one now. I mean, I thought that North Carolina and Kansas, as good as everybody looked, I thought those two teams just looked head and shoulders above.
Yeah.
The teams that they were playing against.
Yeah, North Carolina is just this may be their year. I think all the people that started the season, they had them number one. They may have known what they were talking about.
Well, they're front court guys.
Yeah.
And if Marcus Page, their point guard, is hitting shots, they're really difficult to play against. But their front court is. Oof, and they bring those guys off the bench that are, you know, men.
Of course, now watch. Maybe Oregon wins the whole thing and makes us both look pretty stupid.
I think that's already taking place after our bracket pick. So, next year I'm going to let my daughter pick the bracket according to mascot and team colors. Because when she was picking her bracket, she was asking what the team colors were.
I can't be any worse than what I've done, I'll tell you.
Okay. Be worse than what my bracket was.
All right, quick question away from the tournament. We'll get away from the tournament for just a minute.
Yep.
Quick question. Today looks like it's going to be announced tomorrow. Jamie Dixon, new head coach of TCU, going to return to where he played ball. What do you think of that hire by the Horned Frogs?
Oh, I think the Horned Frogs hired somebody that, I was reading something that he's been the head coach there for 13 years, been to 11 NCAA tournaments, and, the athletic director and the chancellor that hired him have left, and he was feeling a little bit underappreciated from what everything was saying, and I thought that was a great hire for them. I mean, I know they basically, when they hired Jim Christensen and when they hired Trent Johnson, they've targeted him every time. And I think he was just ready for kind of a change of scenery.
And
I think it was a great hire.
And I think it also says, TCU is saying now, we need to get in on this Big 12 basketball thing. Texas goes out and gets
Shaka.
And, and of course, Oklahoma and Kansas and all the success that they've had and Baylor, the success they've had. I think, TCU wants a little piece of that. And I think, this is their signal that, hey, we're getting a serious big time coach and we're going to compete in the Big 12.
And before I get off, and I know we're not going on the tournament again, but how good is Buddy Hield at Oklahoma?
Oh.
Oof.
Wow.
Is he good?
He's a man.
Oof. My son Ross, as we're sitting there watching the game, and he would just come down and shoot a quick shot from three-point range, and he'd say, Dad, is that a good shot? And I go, when it's Buddy Hield, it's always a good shot, Ross.
There you go.
So.
And we're looking for and how excited do you think TVs in Texas and Oklahoma are going to be when the Aggies and the Sooners take the floor?
Oh my gosh, is that going to be really? And I think anytime you play in those tournaments, you're going to have a game where you don't play real well. I don't think A&M played real well.
Yeah.
And I think they got that game out of their system, and I think it's going to be whatever style dictates the game. If it's an up-and-down game, then that favors Oklahoma. If it's a half-court pounded inside, and, with A&M, they have those big 6'6", 6'7", guards taking it to the rack. I mean, it'll be whatever team's able to dictate the tempo.
All right. And, by the way, ESPN has reseeded the teams, kind of as their own little reseeding. You know who they seeded as dead last among the Sweet 16, the number 16 team out of the Sweet 16?
Syracuse.
My Fighting Irish.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame?
They said Notre Dame is the least impressive of the Sweet 16. And right ahead of them, Maryland.
Really?
Yeah. They've actually got Syracuse, Gonzaga, ranked ahead of A&M.
Really? Well, A&M didn't look too good the other night, but, I just had such a pit in my stomach when that guy tipped that ball. And I actually, for the last 3 minutes of the Stephen F. Austin game, I leaned forward in my recliner and was sitting on the edge of my seat like, come on, Stephen F. Austin, come on, man.
Well, I'm a lifelong Notre Dame fan. When I was a kid, grew up just cheering so hard for Notre Dame. I love Notre Dame.
Were you cheering Notre Dame against Stephen F. Austin?
But I got to tell you, down the stretch yesterday, there was a little part of me saying, if Stephen F. Austin wins this game, it wouldn't be that bad. It would be pretty cool if Stephen
F. Austin would have won that game. That'd be the talk of the entire tournament.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been. And I didn't openly root for Stephen F. Austin, but I kept thinking, I said, if Notre Dame were to lose this game, it wouldn't be all bad.
No.
Oh. But the Irish survived.
Even though I embarrassed the radio station with my picks. That's why I'm a junior college basketball coach instead of working at ESPN Radio.
Hey, I mean, this is my show, and my picks were horrible. I mean, I think I'm considering, this is my show, and I'm losing in the bracket to a rabid badger. I mean, and the only one I got right, my only claim, is that I got one of the play-in games right. I got an upset in the play-in game, and that's it. That's the only one I got right.
It was the only time I'm sitting there, and the only reason I was rooting against Coley Cross, like, really? Sports Doc's going to pick the one team that has a losing record by about 7 or 8 games, and the only reason he picked them is because of the East Coast.
Yeah. That was it. So... Well, Coach, appreciate it as always.
Yeah,
a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on again. I appreciate it.
And we'll try and get together with you again next Monday night as we get ready for the Final Four.
All right. You take care.
All right, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Coach Scott Schumacher, the Blinn Buccaneers, and having a little fun with some bracketology, or in our case, busted bracketology, here on the Brenham Sports Line. We'll be back to wrap it up right after these messages.
Do you know where your beer is brewed? With 12 breweries spread out all across the United States, a fresh Budweiser is closer than you think. You might even say we're America's favorite local brewer. Back in 1876, we had one St. Louis brewery. People seem to like our hometown brew, so we've stayed true to that original recipe. We still use hops we hand-select ourselves. We still use our exclusive Beechwood aging process. We've just got more local brewers now, so we can guarantee fresh Budweisers for everyone. Want to see just how fresh? Download the Track Your Bud app. Then you can retrace the creation of the bud in your hand. Where and when it was brewed, where the ingredients came from. It's Brewmaster. Just enter the born-on date on the bottle. It's like taking a tour of your local Budweiser brewery from the comfort of your bar stool. From farm to finish to your phone, get to know your bud. Download the Track Your Bud app or visit trackyourbud.com today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Your regional distributor is Mike Hopkins Distributing. Pick up your favorite Budweiser products at your local retailer.
When your clothes have to look good, trust them to Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market Street in Brenham. Your dry cleaning comes back in tip-top condition because quality work is what's important to the staff at Classic Care Cleaners. Classic Care specializes in dry cleaning and laundry services. They offer starched jeans and shirts, leather and suede cleaning, alterations, wedding gowns, and drapery cleaned and pressed. And upon request, one-day dry cleaning. And it's a promise. You'll look great in everything they do. Classic Care Cleaners, 805 South Market in Brenham.
I tell you what, we gonna have a good old time at the second annual Pitch Pilgrim Pete Barbecue and Bud Crawfish Bowl, April to 9 at Naytime Barbecue. It gonna be a coming and a going from 3 to 9, plus from 6 to 10. Cool Freddie E and the crew from Houston gonna provide an incredible evening of cool classic entertainment as they perform top 40 country, classic rock, Motown, pop, and easy listed dance favorites. It gonna be that Naytime Barbecue cooking up a good time. So go on out and do your share a pinch, peel, and repeat while enjoying good old company and good old music by Cool Freddie E and the crew.
Yeah, the house is a rocking. Don't bother knocking. Yeah, the house is a rocking. Don't bother, come on in.
I say bring on the whole family and friend and join Nathan Barbecue at 1307 Fraley Street in Brenham for fantastic crawfish, barbecue, music, and fun at the second annual Pinch, Peel, and Repeat Barbecue and Bug Crawfish Ball, Saturday, April the 9th.
Oh, boy, they want to massage. Guarantee.
You've been listening to the Brenham Sports Line, sports talk with a local attitude. I want to thank our guests tonight, Coach Lanny Williams, members of the Brenham Cup baseball team, and Coach Scott Schumacher talking March Madness. The Brenham Sports Line brought to you each and every Monday night by Budweiser, Mike Hopkins Distributing, and Classic Care Cleaner, South Market Street, Brenham, making sure you look great in everything they do. We'll see you again next week on the Brenham Sports Line. Same bat time, same bat channel. KWHI.